Hey guys, it's your girlfriend Tess. Welcome to season 3, episode 9. Today is something a little different, a little new, a little switcheroo for you. So I had mentioned that I was going to bring somebody on the show to kind of give a little interview. And I've been trying to get her for a while. Unfortunately, family can be the fucking worst, right? They're such assholes. But she today has graced us with her presence and is going to be the new and the very first guest in my series called MILF of the Month. And she's my very own sister. Yay! Insert clapping noises here, which I'm not going to do. So you just picture that that's happening. So without further ado, you guys, I'm going to introduce my sister, Lena Paredes. MILF of the Month. Oh, and another really quick, guys, if you are liking the show and you want to start your own podcast, click the link in the description box of this episode and start your podcast with Buzzsprout and using my link because that will help me out. It'll help you out. So, yeah. Okay, enjoy the show. Here she is. Okay. Welcome, Lena, to the show. I'm so glad that you're here. Don't smile at me like that. You're such a creep. Okay, so
smile at me first.
So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, like how many kids you have, like tell us about your husband, you know, how much of a better sister you are than me. I know you want to say it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you said it perfectly there. My name is Lena Charissa Paredes. I told you it'd make me laugh. I have 4 kids. My maiden name is Simmons. I became Paredes because I married a man named Juan Paredes.
You're such a dick.
He's from Mexico.
He is.
He's from, yeah. He's a citizen before we ever even knew each other. So it has nothing to do with that. We have 4 children, 2 of our own. 2 I brought with me as beautiful little extras.
Yes.
They look just like me.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're just talking about the extras. I always kind of make fun of you, Lena, because you have like 4 kids and 3 baby daddies. Can you elaborate on that? Are you just like, what's happening with that? Are you just like hella hood? Like, explain yourself, please.
Definitely hood. I would go with that answer. Well, all my kids know. They actually like to tell everybody as soon as they introduce themselves. It's horrible. They're like, hi, we're my mom's kids. All of us are accents except Gloria. And it's true. They're not lying. They all ask me. They're like, who was planned? Who was not planned? I'm like, no one was planned.
Oh, my God.
But Gloria. She's the only one we only planned. That's 1 out of 4. And that was actually 1 more than I thought that I would ever have. So that's fine. I had, well, Noah, the first baby daddy, was with somebody I rebounded with in college. Accidentally got pregnant. We were broken up when I found out I was pregnant. Whole bad idea. We pretty much were like never together when Noah was born. Then the second guy actually married because I was like, oh, should marry somebody because I have a kid. Thanks, Mom. And 5 months later, we had a kid that we barely knew each other. So didn't last too long. I would say we both tried the very best we could as the people we were at that time. Because we had our daughter together. But then finally met someone who is now my current husband. We've been together for 9 years now. And we have 2 kids together. And, yeah, that's 3 baby daddies, 4 kids. That covers all of them.
Yeah. Okay. I think you have my nephew is calling for us, so we're gonna just pause. But you won't even feel it. Okay, and we're back. Sorry, guys. My nephew is actually here, so that was part of the condition of her coming is having my baby nephew here. So he's playing while we're recording, and we had to make him some food real quick. Okay, so back to Lena having 4 kids with 3 baby daddies. As she said, she's kind of hood. This is true. We literally grew up like kind of in the ghetto of Riverbank. I'm not going to lie. But it was a great, humble and experience and a wonderful upbringing for sure. And yeah, so Lena, on the show, I've talked about multiple times about how I find satisfaction in sex. And I think that it's from having a connection with people and actually like really being in love with someone. I don't want to just like have sex just to have it because it's not as satisfying. I think that like in that case, you could just like masturbate if you're just trying to get off, you know, but to have fulfilling, actual, like great ass sex is with someone that you have to really love and really trust. So I remember you telling me recently that you had, whenever you met your husband now, one, that you kind of felt bad for people that you had said that you were in love with before because you thought, oh my gosh, actually, I've never been in love before until I met him. And so you kind of felt guilty for telling people before that you love them because you're thinking, did they think that this is how I felt about them? Because I didn't. I never actually loved anyone really until I met one. So since you said, okay, you are in love with one, was there and is there still a big difference in your opinion, like having sex, like just to have sex with like your boyfriend who you think you're in love with, or like having sex now with your husband who you absolutely know you're in love with? And like what's the difference there?
I would say definitely a huge difference, like 180, almost night and day. So it is kind of like before, all the times that I would have sex, it was literally just because, like, you know, either I wanted it or they wanted it, and you get off and you're done. You're like, oh, okay, good. You know,
it's true.
Got that out of the way. Move on to the next thing. That was the only thing I associated it with, was like, I need to have the sex to get rid of the urge.
Right, just like a physical need.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was pretty much it. I almost had having sex with somebody and masturbating was like the exact same feeling to me.
Yeah.
The other one was just like, it was for them too.
Right, yeah. Like, we're masturbating together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's like, I don't even know.
You
it's
feel like an emotional fulfillment.
It's way, way different. Like,
yeah.
Way different. I wouldn't say, like, I know it sounds so cheesy to say, but I wouldn't say, like, oh, we have sex. It definitely feels like, you know, we, like, make love to each other. Yeah. It's like, there's just a whole physical connection there that is just insane. Like, I notice every single touch he has, like, on my body and everything. It's crazy. Like, everything's super heightened. It's almost like, yeah, like, love is like a drug in a way. And it just literally makes...
Kesha.
Yeah. My love is your drug.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And now I want to sing it so bad.
Go on.
I'm singing it in my head. Pretty much all the cheesy stuff that goes with, like, I don't know if it's the same for everybody. I know a lot of people have different, there's some women that just don't, even when they are in love with somebody, don't ever associate feelings with sex at all, ever.
Yeah.
And like, I just think it's different for everyone. For me, it's definitely probably the most cliche, cheesy, nothing special or exciting. Like,
now that I actually know what it's like to love somebody, only because I learned who I was first.
Right.
And, yeah.
So I have this thing, I talk about it on the show, but, like, I really want someday to, like, experience that. I'm super, my love language is physical, and I have never had it, like, that requited, like, feeling. So either it would be, like, I'm so into it, and it's kind of in my head that, like, oh, this really great physical thing is happening, but actually it's just me. Or it's the other way around where they're, like, super into me and it's, like, not that. I would like someday for us both to, like, for me to actually experience that where it's, like, you're so in love with each other and you have that connection. You know, I definitely crave that. I, like, fantasize about that. That's like, what do you call it? That's, like, in the spank bank or the masturbation material. Like, yes, that, and it sounds like, but, yeah, it's not just, like, I mean, every once in a while you gotta watch that dirty porn, but usually it's that I would like to, like, what gets that orgasm there is, like, the thought of someday actually having that connection with somebody. And so I'm kind of jealous, but that's great that you finally got there. So I know, you know, we talked jokingly kind of about, you know, your other relationships or whatever. What was that like? I mean, I don't know if you want to kind of go into that at all, but I know that, you know, going through a divorce was, like, crazy hard. And, you know, dealing with your first, like, baby, that he was, like, a piece of shit. So being, like, a single mom, you know. So what was, like, what's been, like, your biggest struggle or your biggest hurdle to get to where you're at right now in your life?
My biggest hurdle to get where I'm at, I would say, okay, I would first start off by saying that there were definitely a lot of hurdles in my way that were out of my control, like timing or just people, circumstantial, but my biggest hurdle was definitely myself. I was my own biggest hurdle, my own worst enemy. Now I want, it's no surprise to me, I am my own worst enemy. Because every now and then,
kick the living shit out of me.
Oh, are we allowed to cuss on the show?
Yeah, I cuss all the time on the show. Go ahead.
Oh.
It feels wrong. It feels so dirty.
It feels wrong.
Yeah, but, we cuss all the time. It's an adult show, so.
Oh, okay. Adult Swim.
This is Adult Swim.
Okay,
it. It's Adult Swim, a podcast. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was my own worst enemy. Definitely. I was.
That's deep, though. That's really deep.
But see, how it started was I blamed other people for making me my own worst enemy. They made it too easy for me.
That doesn't sound like anyone blaming other people for your problems. Yes.
At first.
Who does that? Nobody does that.
Nobody.
We all take responsibility for our own actions.
I've never met anyone in my life that I know has ever said, if it wasn't for, I'm sorry you did that made me react that way.
It wasn't for you meddling kids. Scooby-Doo, you motherfucker.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, it was me. It was me the whole time. I don't know. It was, I guess you can say I was very well aware of the game of life, and I knew how to read people and read the situations and manipulate them to exactly what I wanted them to be.
Yeah.
And I guess you just, when everybody just, I guess life was just, it was really easy for me.
Yeah.
I never really wanted for anything. I did have a lot of confidence. And I guess this would usually be the time that people would say, oh, I seemed really confident, but really deep down, nope, I was confident. I didn't have any underworkings there. I felt pretty good about myself. I was great. I was all set.
Yeah.
But I think what really killed it for me is that I just got so wrapped up into always trying to like manipulate the situation to always benefit me. And it's like when I started actively trying to do it, because I realized it was just so simple for me, and trying to do that going into my adult life when people aren't as stupid and there's a lot more factors, it obviously comes back to bite you in the ass a lot worse.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when I learned, like, who am I? Like, what? Why am I doing all? What the fuck am I? Oh, there's other people here and their feelings.
Right, having like creating that or tapping into that empathy, that maybe you, you know, what's funny is that like I think that you're super a nice person, you have always been, you know, despite all of these other things, like this rough exterior to me, you've always been super giving and super nice. So it's kind of, it's not that it wasn't there. It's just kind of, I think, something that maybe you turned off just maybe as a survival tactic or because of comfort, because you were happy. Like you didn't, like you said, you didn't want for anything. Like, why would you turn that on when you're like, I'm completely content living this way? You know, and then not having to worry about people's feelings by just turning kind of that part of you off and just being in the other part of you, you know, because we are not, as people, we are so much more complex than just like one personality or one way of being. And sometimes we do kind of put ourselves into like compartmentalized pieces of our lives and pieces of ourselves. And sometimes we do get stuck in that, into that one personality type, like where it's comfortable, because here you are confident, here you get what you want and you don't have to feel bad or whatever. So it's not that you didn't have that, you just stayed in that compartment, in that mindset all the time, like, because it is an easy way to live. It's an easy way to feel confident about yourself, to get what you want, to manipulate people, and to always be in control. And you know, I think You know, you did learn your lesson kind of the hard way. And I guess that's what all lessons are learned that way, I suppose, by having to deal with some pretty nasty blows to your ego and some pretty nasty like heartbreaks. Because I remember you going through your divorce and me telling you, and I remember telling my mom, or our mom, I guess, that she just seems not like Lena. She doesn't seem like her. And you kind of were doing things out of character for yourself, where you're, you guys on the that are listening, she's a very like classy kind of, like, she likes things old school. She's very like grandma aesthetic, very, you know, she has her other sides to her, but I would say like very classy, like personality, and like classy dress, classy style. And with her ex-husband, she was doing crazy shit, like getting a tattoo. This girl would never even pierce her ears because she didn't want holes in her body. And she was very like not about super hardcore makeup. She was very, and just, she got a tattoo. She was wearing these like crazy makeup looks and coloring her hair these weird colors. And just because she was trying to please her husband, who was kind of that. And I know we act like who are around, and we change all the time, and that's totally okay. But it was like she wasn't even herself in it. She was like acting a part, and it was like Lena was not even there. Do you remember kind of feeling, did you feel like out of body sometimes? Because sometimes I was like, are you even there? You know, like how you would speak and everything was, you would always speak with so much confidence and like, so you knew what you wanted, and you started really submitting a lot. Did you notice that about yourself?
Yeah, that was my only way to survive, really. Cause I did always have it in my mind, obviously coming from our upbringing and like the church and our family and stuff, that I was only going to get married one time. So I thought like, holy cow, now I'm having a second child. This guy's officially my husband. Like, I have to just do all this crap I don't like, because this is called making it work. This is called compromising. This is called marriage. Sacrifices, and it was going to be hard, and all of those things that all of your, all the adult elderly people and talk shows and magazines tell you in your life, this is what they're talking about, so these are things I have to do. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's, it's a lot more gray than that. It's like, almost like that is true, but it's not true.
Yeah.
Because I did like those things. Like, I like those looks when people kind of have, like, you know, the rough, edgy, or, like, some tattoos, or, you know, cool piercings and stuff like that. But was it for me? No.
Right.
It was like, but I thought that, oh, because he likes that, I should like that too.
Yep.
And then I realized that I actually didn't like anything around me. I know that sounds, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Do it. Take him down. Take him to the depths of hell. Hurt no. him. Drag him.
It was just.
Do it.
Obviously, it was. Obviously, it was a mistake. I don't regret it, though.
Yeah.
Because no, I have Audrey. Mm-hmm. And I had that experience. And that was the turning point experience for me. When I realized that I didn't have to keep punishing myself and, like, subduing myself completely just because I was becoming, like, a really out-of-control, manipulative kind of... what's that word? When you only think about yourself. Selfish.
Yeah. It, you were selfish, bitch.
It was just like I was so only concerned about how everything affected me my whole life. And then after I had Noah and then Audrey and I entered into this marriage, I was like, okay, well, now for the whole rest of my life, it's nothing that Lena wants or thinks or likes or her opinions or how she likes to see things. It's everybody else. And I thought
that's
what I needed to do to kind of, now that I was a mom and now that I was a wife. And it was just, it was so bizarre. It was bizarre, honestly. It was like, I don't know.
You're lucky that, you know, for some people, it takes many years living like that to finally grasp, you know, hey, actually, I'm just a ghost in a shell right now. I'm not even myself anymore. And it takes sometimes many years. And, you know, their kids even growing up and a whole lifetime that has gone by before they even realize, actually, I'm not happy. And actually, this is not me at all. And then people think, she's changing. But it's like, no, she was always this. It's just she's finally knowing who she is now. So that's cool that it didn't take you long and, you
about
know.
3 years.
It's not,
I don't think that's a very long
time. No, and especially being the age that you were, so young, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And having the two babies and really just trying to make it work, I think. And also your husband was young and you guys both were just doing a lot of growing and learning. And it's a difficult thing.
Our personalities don't. Like, even still to this day, I could say we're two very different people.
Yeah.
Very different people. Very different communication styles.
Definitely.
Interest. Just, we're very different people. We co-parent just fine.
Yeah.
For Audrey. But.
You can't ask for more than that.
It's,
that's for sure.
I think when people see him or meet him, they're kind of really like, they're really confused because if you know me now, you're like, that doesn't seem like somebody
that's so
Lena
true.
Would marry.
It's true.
And you know what? It's just, it is what it is. I just have to, it's been a really long time. Like it's been almost a decade since this turning point in my life. So it seems like a really far distant memory. Like, I'm telling the never-ending story right now.
It's good, though, because, you know, I think for people that may be struggling in that same or something similar, you know, going through divorce and everything, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is, I mean, something better even. There, you might go on to find the love of your life. You might go on to get remarried again and, you know, to actually be happy. You know, you said that you didn't really...
You can't just wake up. You can't just wake up from, like, the one day and have the epiphany and be like, okay, I don't want to just play the part anymore. I don't want to just be the role of mother, wife, whatever. I want to actually live and have these feelings and connections and passion and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's, you have to actually work to become that person.
Yeah.
Like, really, really work, because the transition...
It's hard.
Was insane.
Yeah.
That I probably come off as a basket case to everyone around me several times. Yeah. That I had to sit there and question myself over and over and over and over again while still at the same time dealing with working, raising my children, dealing with, like, you know, all the drama that comes with leaving your in-laws, your friends, your own family, the judgment, going to the parties and then being like, oh, where's your husband? Or not saying anything and waiting till you leave so they can be like, oh, did you hear? Did you hear? And you're like, yeah, it's just...
Yeah, that's hard. Especially because, you know, especially if you think of marriages that... And now, Lena, definitely you would understand that being like something that's like what you would say a shorter marriage... You know, think about people that have been together, you know, they married their high school sweetheart, or they've been together for over 10 years married or 15 years married even. Ooh. And then having...
Walking away from that would be... I couldn't difficult. Even imagine.
Everything's so tied together.
From somebody who I had one kid with that I was with for 3 years felt impossible.
Wow. Yeah.
And I could not imagine. I really couldn't. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
I could not imagine. I would say that... There really isn't anything you can do, but, like, just do it. People feel like you have to have, like, a game plan, or this has to happen first, or this has to happen first. And it's kind of like you just start doing the things.
That's so good. It's, like, it seems so, like... You know, that advice, just one day at a time or whatever, but it's very true. You know, you can't...
Especially if you're leaving comfort. Me, I was leaving, like, trauma, because obviously me and Jose together were just brought out the worst in each other. The worst. He brought out all the worst parts of me. I wrote all the worst parts of him, and that was the only thing that we could do for each other the whole 3 years, pretty much. So I was coming away from a lot of, like, emotional trauma. I couldn't... I was a little more inspired. It was a little more easier for me.
Yeah.
People who want to leave somebody for a better life that are walking away from comfort, that would be hard. To walk away from comfort. Walking away from trauma. People talk a lot about being in a domestic abuse relationship. Trying to leave, you know, a partners who are abusive and stuff like that. Yeah, I get it. I totally get, like, the mind games and stuff that happens. But no one really talks about how hard it is to walk away from a mundane relationship.
Yeah,
a comfortable relationship.
It's
things
true.
That just make sense. Like, well, there's nothing really wrong with them.
Right.
Well, they haven't really done anything. Well, this, well, that. And I couldn't imagine.
Or even just being okay with the uncomfortable. Like, sometimes things that were originally that you didn't really like or appreciate that happened to you that you had to do. Since you're in them for so long, it becomes routine. Like, that discomfort becomes comfortable because it's what you know.
Dollar Tree. Is that what you're talking about? My job.
No, I wasn't talking about your job, but I mean, if that's that, then that's also true. Yeah. I mean,
that's my longest relationship.
Yeah. Okay. So guys, if you didn't know, she has a fabulous job and she works at Dollar Tree because she's amazing. Lena, so you worked there originally to just go there while you're going to school, like finishing college, and she's still in school currently. And we'll have to pause. There's a whole drama with that, right? But she had to pause school for a little while. It still is working, though.
GCU is asking me to pay them $4,000. So if anybody would like to reach out to them in my name.
Can anybody start a GoFundMe, please? It should give me over student loans.
I need the $4,000 before I have to pay back my student loans. It was only extended until August. They won't keep extending it.
You guys heard. Get on it. Get on it. Everybody donate $2. Okay, we got it. So yeah, I mean, going to school, but you've working there for quite some time because you started there in college. So how many years has it been now? Too many?
Too many. Over 14.
Oh my, how old are you?
I'm 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Unbelievable. I was gonna say you don't look a day over 12.
I don't.
No.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, it's true.
People are like, are you old enough to work here?
Like, I don't know. I'm just so barely, young. Just barely.
That's a lie. I went by AMPM after work to get a strawberry. And I had worked actually like a full day that day, and I had done that in a long time. Mm-hmm. And she didn't ID me or nothing. She just, like, bitch. I got the strawberry like at 9:30 at night.
Slap a hoe.
And I was like, I probably went in there looking so tore up and old. She was like, nope, didn't even second guess.
She just gave it to you if she feels bad.
Yeah, and I was like, I left and I'm like in the car and I get home and I tell Juan, I was like, you know, the sign says if you look under 35,
you're not even 35.
That will ID you. We're not even going off the 21 here because the sign said 35. So I don't think AMPM in Oakdale, maybe retrain your employees on that policy.
That's what it is. It's their policy. They're fucking up.
Yeah, because you never know. Because I'm not 35.
No. You're not even 35.
Yeah, I'm super far away from that.
Super far. Okay, so speaking of looks, okay, so here on the show, because I know you never fucking listened to the show.
I did once.
Don't listen. She listened to like one episode. But yeah. I do talk about how and you know about this, how I really struggled with like body image growing up. And I struggled for a very long time, even in my adult life. And only recently have I been really accepting and loving of my body now, which is kind of silly because before I definitely had an athletic build, a really beautiful body, and I wish I would have just loved it like I should have. But now I do love my body, and it's after I had kids, and now I have like chunks and rolls and stretch marks and cellulite and loose skin and a whole host of beautiful things in my body that I love now. And you know, you have always been so tiny, and you know, your body has changed over the years too after having kids. And I think you look great, but do you feel still, you know, I always struggled with like, you know, being in a bathing suit and like people looking at me and hold on just a second. Okay. Sorry. There's my nephew's school is calling, because it's a minimum day and she didn't know that. So
I did know that. It was a reminder because I totally knew today was the minimum day. She didn't. I'm not one of those moms who forgets when kids have minimum day.
Such a good mom. Okay, so
that's on my calendar,
right?
Of course, at home.
Yeah.
Just not at home right now. That's why.
Right.
That's why they did that.
Exactly. So talking about, you know, like I said, I was always like nervous being like in a bathing suit, people looking at me weird and being like, Lena, can you tell me if this outfit looks okay? And being so nervous about everything. And you were always like, bitch, like just going and like not giving a shit and hell of like just dominating everything, like dominating the room, like your personality, like always dominating everyone around you. Do you feel like you still carry that same confidence, or do you feel differently about your body now?
I would say I am more conscious of my body now because it did change. I probably would not be conscious of it at all if it did not go through major changes because of my pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that the consciousness of my body has really changed how I act. I'm pretty much still just do what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, it's not as easy as I can throw on whatever I want and, like, feel comfortable going places. I kind of just don't really care, I guess. Now I tell myself, like, well, this is it. I look fucking ghetto, horrible. I look so ugly right now. Look at all these cute moms around me.
Aww.
But it doesn't really affect me. I'm like, I really don't care. It's like, I'm conscious of it now, but it's like
You block it out.
I don't really.
You block it out. You're a blocker.
I don't care about it enough to, like, you know, do something about it.
You're like, it doesn't bother me at all. I just fucking hate myself and I cry myself to sleep every night, but, like, it's totally cool.
Yeah. No, I'm like, I look at them and I was like, how did you come to T-ball with your hair with beach waves and cute jeans and, like, freaking, I'm like, is that seriously, like, mascara? Contour? Really?
Contour.
Who does that? That's horrible. I'm like, who comes with long wavy hair and a baseball cap and cute little Converse, and who actually does that? Who does that? And it's not just once in a while. There are moms who do it consistently. And I don't understand it. I really don't. I stare at them and I'm like, how do you fit this? And I would rather sit on my phone and play phase 10 then put makeup on.
Oh my god. But you know what, I think that your husband, obviously, like, you guys are so disgusting and you guys are, like, always all over each other all the time, so I think that
because he's so sexy.
Yeah,
what you wanted to say,
this is what I'm fucking talking about. But they it's so cute. Barf.
Thinking about it right now.
Oh my.
He has the perfect hairline.
Don't listen. Okay.
Going down his body.
Okay, I knew she was gonna fucking say that. Oh my god, I was just fucking waiting for it.
You would think that he cuts it like that. It's crazy.
Okay, you guys, I'm sorry. Yeah, so obviously they're, like, so in love with each other. So do you think that, you know, knowing that your husband really just loves you exactly and, like, wants you exactly how you are, that that just helps you to accept yourself also for how you look right now?
Oh, definitely. I tell him all the time, and sometimes I really think about it. Like, had I gone through everything I've gone through lately, if I had to go through all the same stuff I've gone through in my life and just unplug him, I think I would have at some point literally been in, like, a mental institution.
Yeah,
I would have so many mental problems. Because I was always so strong mentally. I still kind of am. But, like, I've told him, is I feel like I'm losing it, which is, like, a newer thing to me. It's only happened to me, like, this last year or two.
Like, you're really in your head.
Yeah. So a couple years ago, I kind of started to, I felt like I could physically feel, like, bindings. Like, sitting in my car one day after work, and I felt like I could physically feel, like, bindings in my brain, like, opening up and, like, coming unraveled, like, snapping off. And I'm sitting there trying to tell myself to control my mind and my feelings, because usually it's as simple as that for me. It's like, Lena, get it together. You're being stupid. You need to get this done so So go get it done. Nobody cares. Move on.
Right.
But, like, I couldn't. I couldn't control my mind, which was
a new thing.
A very new sensation for me. Definitely new sensation. And it's very scary. I'm still not sure what to think about it. It makes me even get anxiety.
I'm getting anxiety right now thinking about it.
Yeah. It's that horrible. And he's dealt with that his whole life.
Anxiousness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like being really anxious, depressed, all that stuff. So he knew exactly where I was coming from. I helped get him out of that.
Right.
But now, just, you know, I guess because of...
He has deep empathy because he knows what you're feeling. So it's just having a partner understanding, like, what you're going through.
Yeah. And it was just, like, I wouldn't say there's one specific thing that caused it all. It was just kind of, like, just stopped and looked around at everything. And I just kind of felt like finally it was, like, getting me. But I think it's a good thing because... I am actually not as, like, robotic mom and worker and manager and employee how I used to be. I'm kind of just, like, a person now.
Right.
And
actually experiencing emotion, actually experiencing the highs and lows, not just forcing yourself for duty's sake, but actually experiencing.
Imagine at the age of 31 trying to finally... like, have to work to navigate your emotions. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird because it was always so easy for me, and I do not know to this day. Anyone has a diagnosis for me, let me know. I do not know to this day why it is the way that it is. Why I went through so much trauma and crazy stuff. And at the time, did I cry? Was I angry? Was it upsetting? Yeah. But it was, like, so just quick. Mm-hmm. It was like I could just run through those emotions. Like, it was easy. It was just, you know, I guess hormones, whatever, caught up in the moment type stuff. They didn't feel huge, deep, impactful, lasting, tingling.
To me, it kind of seems like how you're describing it and how we just spoke about a little bit ago is the compartmentalization, where it's like in those moments, in those spurts, you got into that compartment for a second, had a little bit of breakdown, but then went back to the other self. Now with these unravelings that you're having, it's like all of the aspects of your life actually are touching each other. So it's not, I can control this part and not this part. It's like, well, when I'm struggling, when I'm upset about something, it does touch going to work. It does touch dealing with my children or how I speak or whatever, because I feel that still. You know, it's not just feel it over here, but then not let it touch this thing over here. Yeah. But I think that actually shows, and you just being self-aware about that, same as you being self-aware about what had caused a lot of these breakdowns to begin with, and taking responsibility for all that has happened to you, to me, that just shows a very mature person and someone that has progressed. To me, it seems not like a breakdown, but it seems like a progression of a person. Like, the changes are good. That's how I kind of see
it. It's been hard for me to see as a progression because I did not see it like that at first. I thought...
perceived as a weakness.
I used to be a strong person. Now I'm becoming a weak person. I was like, oh my God, you're going to laugh at me, but I was literally attributing it to old age.
Oh my God.
I was like, I'm becoming older, so now I can't get my shit together. In my head, I thought it was, like, you know, early onset of senile and stuff. You know what? It was probably grandma.
What are these feelings that are happening? Is this feelings?
Ew. Probably being around grandma all the time.
Just all the emotions. Yeah.
She's off the hook sometimes.
Yeah. Our grandmother is a whole, she's a whole ass character. That's for sure. Okay. So, guys, this has been Lena on the show. Lena, do you have any final words for the listeners? What would you like to say? You have anything you want to say?
Don't, to the listeners?
To people, yeah, listen to the show. People listen to, don't look at me like that. People listen to the fucking show.
Yeah, no, I believe you. can I see Oh, this isn't live, huh?
No, this is not
live. I was like, show me the numbers.
But I can't show you the numbers. Sure. I'll show you the numbers. Let me plug this right now. I can show you the numbers on Buzzsprout. Guys, if you like to listen to this podcast and if you are interested in starting your own podcast, please click the link below to start your podcast on Buzzsprout. If you start with Buzzsprout, please use my link because it will help me out. It'll help you out. If you want to pay for Buzzsprout, after your first month, you will get a $20 Amazon gift card by using my link. Also, hold on. I'm going to let Lena say five first. Hold on. Go ahead.
What am I supposed to say?
You could add whatever you would like to say.
Oh, I love Disney and Harry Potter. Oh, about my, what am I saying?
Whatever you want.
Okay. What else do I want to say? I love Lemonheads. I like you have a box in here.
I did it for you.
Thank you. That was really nice. I'm on pain medication right now.
Okay. We're going to cut. Okay. We're back. We're back to me. We're back to me. Okay, guys, this has been your girlfriend Tess, and this is our MILF of the Month with Lena Paredes. I will be linking her Instagram to my Instagram and in the show here if you guys want to follow her and like her dumb pictures of her dumb kids. I'm just kidding. They're my family. I love them. They're so adorable. She's totally an influencer. Oh my God. And she is on pain medication, so we're gonna cut the show right now. But thank you. And also I am oh my gosh, just one second. Okay, so I am exsanguinating from my vagina right now. So that means I'm bleeding from my vagina, if you didn't know that, and that's because I'm on my period. So I'm gonna go change my tampon. And if you guys like the show and you want to buy me stuff, you can check out my Amazon gift list here, or if you want to leave me a tip, it's your girlfriend Tess at Venmo and at PayPal. And yeah, I will see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.